Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, B'siyata D'shmaya, we are about to begin the 8th perek of Ksubas. The topic dealt with in this perek is, I would say, a brand new topic, a significant departure from the dapim that we have been learning recently. The general topic has to do with a woman who is going to be getting married who receives property. She inherits property. We will be concerned with two points in time as with regard to today's shiur, and that is, when did she acquire the properties? And the issue of who has or does not have rights to sell those properties, the wife, the husband. As we see this Mishnah, we have a topic heading and structural note that introduces this. On the side, you can see Nose Mivneh, and we also indicate Ad Sof Amud Beis. This topic will basically be keeping us busy until the end of the Gemara on Amud Beis. In other words, all of today's shiur, or the bulk of today's shiur, is going to be focused on this issue. You see a double underline marking. This represents shlavim, shonim, different stages, shabohem naflu nechosim leisha, where a woman acquires properties, let us say through inheritance. Naflu generally is associated with a woman inherits property. Umahem zchuyos mechira shiyesh labal b'chol shlav. And what rights, what sale rights does her husband have with regard to each stage that's featured here? So the double underline, if we just skim ahead, just looking at the markings, we have the first case, Ad Shelo Tisares. A woman, a single woman, receives property before she entered Erusin. The next situation, Naflu La Mishanis Arsa. She acquires property through inheritance after she was already an Arusa. In other words, there was a husband on the scene, but they had not as yet consummated their marriage with the second stage known as Nisuin. Then we see the third double underline, Naflu La Mishanises. A woman acquires properties after she's already married. There's an interim stage where we underline Ad Shelo Nises V'Nises. She acquires properties before she consummated her marriage. And then, while still holding on to those properties, she entered Nisuin. In all of these cases, the issue, as we said before, is sale rights. Who has the rights to sell? We have included in this sukkia a chart that is not complete. It's deliberately incomplete. It's for you to fill in as a means of reviewing the sukkia. But if you have Omid Beis available, if you scroll ahead or you have the printed dapim of Omid Beis, you'll see at the top part of the page in the margin, the right-hand upper margin, a tavla, a table, a chart. And we note that this chart deals with the question, Ha'im mechirasa kayemes o betela? Is the sale that the woman conducts regarding these properties, is the sale going to stand or is it canceled? Going across the top of this chart, you see the word nofal, the word mochra, and just for the sake of dealing with the space of the allotted space, we abbreviate Nofal is Nun and Mem is Mechira. So you have different cases, and you can see going across the top, we have Nofal, that means property came to her, Lifnei Erusin, and then Mochra Ke'arusa, she sells the properties as an Arusa. That means there's a husband on the scene. Obviously, if she acquired properties before she entered Eruzin, she's a single woman. She can do whatever she likes with the property. She can sell it. That's no problem. The issue is when a husband enters the picture. Bear in mind that when you deal with properties that are owned by his wife, the husband has rights to benefit from the fruits, from the produce of those properties. The question that is of key importance throughout the whole sugya is the rights that a husband has to the fruits. How much control does that grant him over the wife's sales? And as we said, the different stages are of central importance. So we just illustrated one case of a woman acquiring properties before Erusin, and she attempts to sell it as an Arusa. Another situation, going across the top of the chart, you have Nofal, properties come to her as an Arusa Be'erusin, and she Mochra, she tries to sell it as an Arusa in that same state. Another situation is Nofla Lefnei Nisuin, property comes to her before she consummates her marriage. And we're going to see in the sugi, when we say before, she consummates her marriage, whatever time, even maybe before Erusin. But the main thing is that she tries to sell it kinesua, as a nesua. So that her attempt to sale is after she's already consummated her marriage, and her husband is benefiting from the properties in an active fashion. He is oichel the peros. And then finally, properties that come to her after Nisuin, and she tries to sell it as that, as a Nisua. And once again, in that case, it's quite clear that the husband is when the properties come to her, initially when the properties come to her, the husband is immediately entitled to the fruits of those properties, to the peros. When we get to Amid Beis, you'll notice, and we're going to notice shortly, there are a lot of shitos that deal with this topic. We're going to see, even in our Mishnah, we'll see reference to Rabbi Yehuda, and who presents an earlier machlokas tanoim between the Chachomim and Rabbi Gamliel. And then we'll see Rabbi Hanina, who likewise presents that machlokas, of course, with his approach. And then later in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel are going to comment on these topics as well. So the chart as it stands now is, we have instructions that you could fill in regarding her sales. Is she allowed to sell l'chatchila? As a first choice, she can sell. That means it's perfectly all right for her to sell. Or b'di'evet, which would mean if she would consult with us, can she sell? We'd say don't sell. But if she sold, the sale would go through. Or shemechirasa b'teila, or another possibility is that her sale is botel, and that the husband would be able to go to the purchasers and say, "Hey, what were you buying those properties from my wife? I have first crack at it. In other words, I have primary rights to the property. You shouldn't have bought it." So now, with that overview in mind, I think that we've covered all of the different possibilities. Now, the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the top of Ayin Ches Amar Av, Ha'isha Shenoflu Lo Nechosim Ad Shelotis Ares. A woman who inherited property before she entered Erusin, and Rashi adds, and then she became an Arusa. Moidim Beishamayu Beisilel Shemocheres V'Nesenes V'Kayam. There is agreement in this case. Later we'll see an argument about another case. But there's agreement since the property came to her before she was affiliated with a man. She was her own boss, so to speak. Everyone agrees that she can sell Mocheres Venosena, she can sell or give away the properties, and the deal stands. Naflu lo mishenis arsa. Property came to the woman after she was already an arusa. She was already wedded to a man. And again, erusin, as we've mentioned since the beginning of the Masechta, represents the first stage of the marriage, before the consummation of the marriage. But at this point, she is considered an eishes ish, and at that point, she inherits properties. Beis Shammai oimrim timkor. Beis Shammai says, go right ahead and sell as an arusa. Ubeis Hillel oimrim lo timkor. We will tell her, do not sell. You have a husband here who is anticipating getting benefit from those fields. Eilu v'eilu modim, shimoch v'nosno kayom. That means that Beis Hillel will concede to Beis Shammai that if she sold it, so this, the deal stands. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. We have a diamond around names here, Rabbi Yehuda and later Rabbi Chanina. On the side of the Gemara, we have the diamond featured. Havlotis Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chanina. Each one, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chanina, we'll call them later Tanoim. They bring their versions of an earlier machlokis between the Chachomim and Rabban Gamliel on these topics. So Rabbi Yehuda says, he reports to us, Omru Chachomim lefnei Rabban Gamliel. Hoyil v'zocha be'isha lo yizke b'nechosim. Since the man, we'll say he acquired a wife, he became married. Zocha means he merited being married. We'll use the word acquired because we're dealing with matters of commerce right now. Even though to some sensitive ears that might rub some people the wrong way, but be that as it may, that's the term we'll use for right now. Since he acquired a wife, that's namely the arusa, should he not merit the acquisition of those properties? Rashi says on the third line from the top, lo yizke b'nechosim b'gmor meforesh ahei Minayu Kaimi. This Rashi is very important by way of introducing the Gemara later on. And here the Gemara is explaining that we have to clarify what are the Chachomim referring to. When the Chachomim say that should he not have, we'll say, the upper hand, Rashi goes on, Alechadchilu de Beis Shammai, are they arguing with Beis Shammai's attitude or Beis Shammai's position that she's allowed to sell as lechatchila, she's allowed to sell as her own first choice if she should want to, and the Chomer saying, no, we don't like that idea that she can take the initiative to sell. So is that what they're arguing on? Oy adieved de Beis Hillel, or are they arguing on the stance that Beis Hillel took that said, well, if she sells, so the sale goes through, comes along the Chachomim that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting right now, the Chachomim that speak to Rabbi Gamliel, and they're saying, no, if she sold, the sale is off. In other words, arguing even on Beis Hillel's approach to the B'dieved, the post facto case where she had sold. So we see that the Chachomim saying to Rabban Gamliel that a man who is zoiche to a wife and let's see, she acquires properties after she's already associated with a man, should the man not have rights to those properties? Omar Lohem, Rabban Gamliel says, Al hachadoshim anu boishim. Elo sha'atem megaglim aleinu es hayishonim. This is a very cryptic statement, but with Rashi we can make perfect sense of it. Rabban Gamliel, he has a polar argument with the Chachamim, and he says Al Chadoshim means the new ones, the more recent ones. What is that a reference to? Properties that fall to a woman after she has consummated the marriage We, says Ramalia, we're embarrassed. Means, why is it that that rabbis have the opinion that properties that she acquired after she consummated the marriage, if she were to sell them, the Baal, the husband, can go and extricate them, can take them back from the purchasers. Rabban Gamliel is upset with that. In other words, there is a case where the Baal, we would say, has a very strong claim to the properties, and yet Rabban Gamliel says, I don't like that idea that the husband can go take them away. And now you, the Chachomim, are Atem Megagim Aleinu, you're trying to give power to the husband in a case where he has even less strength. Megagim Aleinu is a Yishanim. Yishanim is the older case, the earlier in time situation. What do we mean earlier in time? Properties that fell to her, not as a nesua, but as she was merely an arusa. She's more independent in our way of thinking at that point. It's true she's been married, but it's only the first stage of marriage. And you are trying to tell me that even those properties, the husband should be able to stop the sale. We continue. Noflu lo mishenises. Properties fall to a woman after she gets married. Eilu v'eilu moedin, she mochra v'nosna, that if she sells those properties, shabal motzi miyad halukuchos, that the husband can take away the properties from the purchasers. I think it's reasonable to assume that where you see eilu v'eilu moedin, that's a reference to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai that we saw earlier. This should not be associated right now with Rabban Gamliel, because we saw Rabban Gamliel telling us in the previous point, we saw him saying that regarding properties that fall to her after Nisuin, he couldn't understand why the husband should have a right to take away from the Lekuchos. So here, this point in the Mishnah was exactly that case, and you see there's agreement that the husband can take away from the Lekuchos. So that's not Rabban Gamliel, but it is then the presentation, we'll say, of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Ad shelo niseis v'niseis. Let's say a woman receives property before she enters Nisuin. She holds on to the properties and enters Nisuin while still in possession of those properties. Rabban Gamliel Omer, imochra v'nosna kayam. If she sells those properties, the sale sticks. Omar Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. Now we have Rabbi Chanina's presentation of the discussion between the Chachomim and Rabban Gamliel. We saw Rabbi Yehuda make that presentation, and now Rabbi Chanina. Omru lifnei Rabban Gamliel. Hoyil v'zocha be'isha. Since the man was zoche to an isha, in this case it means he married her completely. He consummated the marriage. Shenosa. Lo yizku v'nechosim. If you compare the phrases that Rabbi Chanina presents and Rabbi Yehuda above, note you can use and navigate with the dot underlining. Above we had hoyil v'zocha be'isha. There, v'zocha be'isha, and of course we were using Rashi all along, there it meant arusa. Rabbi Chanina says hoyil v'zocha be'isha, and Rashi says shenosa. He consummated the marriage with her. So Rabbi Chanina says that if a man consummated marriage with a woman that was holding on to properties that she had inherited, lo yizkeh b'nechosim, should he not be entitled to be in control of those properties? So this is the Chachomim addressing Rabbi Gamliel, who had said, oh no, her sale is good, and she's allowed to. The Chachamim say, what do you mean? The woman is under the framework of a consummated marriage. How can she go and sell the properties? Omar Lohem, Rabbi Gamliel says back, Al HaChadoshim Onu Boshim. Chadoshim, Rashi says, those are the properties that were Noflu Law Mishenises, the properties that she acquires after she's already married, after she already consummated the marriage, properties that fall to her. Rabbi Gamliel says she still is able to sell them, and we're embarrassed that that there are rabbis that say otherwise. And you're trying to say that that the husband should have control even over those properties that fell to her before the Nisuin. Just to review that again, all through Rabbi Gamliel's eyes, Rabbi Gamliel is of the feeling that properties, no matter when it falls to the woman, even if it falls to the woman after she's in a nesuah, she still has control over the sales. And he says, and you're trying to say that when the woman has even a stronger claim to the property, namely properties that fell to her before nesuin, even those the husband should have control over. Rabbi Shimon Cholek Bein Nechosim L'Nechosim. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between different kinds of properties. The Mishnah will use terms that the Gemara will explain later on. So we'll just translate but not commit ourselves to any definition. Rashi says the Gemara Meforish will be explained later. Nechosim Hayaduim Labal Loi Timkor. Properties that are known to the husband, the wife should not sell them, and if she does, the sale is void. Sheinon yiduim lepal, properties that are not known to him. Lo timkor v'imochro v'nosna kayem. Again, lechatchila she should not sell them, but if she does, the sale sticks. The Gemara deals with the beginning halachas of the Mishnah. Before we learn the text itself, we have on the side a nosei mivne heading. Because in this Gemara, you'll notice a trapezoid or volcano shape. These represent shuvos la she'ela. These are going to be answers to the opening question, Maishna reisha de lo pligi. Why in the reisha of the Mishnah we see moldin beisham eibbe? So there's agreement. There's agreement concerning the case of a woman selling the properties mentioned there. And bear in mind, she's selling them after she's an arusa. The seifa, the pligi, and in the seifa, meaning the second case of the Mishnah, also features her selling them as an arusa. And there they argue. So that when if you have this focused look at the Mishnah, in other words, or as a concentrated look at the Mishnah at a very specific point in time, it's difficult to see why in the Reisha there is agreement and in the Seifa there is a Machlokas. Because if you have this focused or concentrated view of the Mishnah, in both cases we see a woman selling properties as an Arusa. The Gemara. My Shna Reisha Delo pligi. What's different about the reisha? Now, the reisha was a case where properties came to the woman while she was still a single woman, and then she entered erusin, holding onto those properties, and then sold them. And over there, in that case, there was agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that she is allowed to sell those properties. Umayshna seifa, the pligi means, in the Seifa, that's a reference to properties that came to the woman after she entered Erusin and sold them as an Arusa. And there you see Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing. In other words, we can rephrase the question that just because properties fell to her before the Erusin, does that mean that the husband's control is weakened, and therefore you saw Beis Shammai's Hillel arguing that she's allowed to go ahead and sell those properties, even though the sale is taking place after she's already an Arusa? The Gemara answers, Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. Reisha, in the first case, Bizichusa Naflu. The properties came to her when she was alone. She was in total control. Rashi says, Bizchusa Naflu, Adayin Lohoya, Zakai Bishala, Velo Bo, Elo Hi Atzma. At that point, it came to her when the husband had no claims on things she owned, nor any claims on the woman herself. She was a single woman. She was alone. And that's what gives her greater power in that case, even though the sale takes place after she's already in Arusa. Seifa Bizchuso Naflu. In the second case of the Mishnah, the properties came to her after he already had, rights to her and her properties. The Gemara asks, in Bizchuso Naflu, if that's how you're describing the second case, namely Naflu Mishinis Arsa, that it came to her when he already had rights or control or a say in the matter. So, Ki Mochra V'Nosna Maikayam, why then, if she conducts the sale, does the sale stick? Does it have staying power? What happened to the power of the husband? Ela, rather, Reisha Vadai Bizchusa Naflu. As far as the Reisha is concerned, just like we said before, things are very clear. It fell to her when she was in total control. She was alone. She had complete control over herself and whatever properties she had. She was alone at the time it came to her. Seifa, in the second case, when we are describing properties coming to a woman who is an Arusa, what does Arusa really mean as far as husband's presence here? Amar Bizchuso, Amar Bizchuso. It's another way of saying that the status of Arusin is something that is, there's a suffix. Rashi says, Amar Bizchuso, the Arusin oises suffix nisuin. Arusin creates a possible nisuin status. What do we mean by that? Shema tavo lidei nisuin, shema lo tavo. Who knows? They might not come to consummate their marriage. Maybe they will. It's an unclear. It's a stage of lack of clarity. So the result of that is lechatchila lo timkar, since she might become a nisua. So we tell her as first choice, don't sell. Now, let's make it clear, as an Nesua, so the husband certainly has rights to the property. Everyone agrees that the husband has rights to the fruit of the property, the peros. And with the exception of Rav Gamliel, everyone would tell you that as an Nesua, the sales that she would conduct are not going to be lasting. Therefore, in the Arusin stage, we say, as a first choice, because you might come to become an Nesua, you shouldn't sell those properties. However, im machra v'nosna kayam, if while still an Arusa she did sell the properties, the sale sticks. Omer of Yehuda, Amru lefnei Rabban Gamliel. The Chachomim said to Rabban Gamliel, and here the Gemara asks the question that we introduced much earlier in the Rashi. Ibayalaho. Rabbi Yehuda alechatchila o adievet. Now it says Rabbi Yehuda, but bear in mind Rabbi Yehuda is only a moderator, so it really means the Chachomim as presented by Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachomim who spoke up to Rav Gamliel, and through their comment, they were giving strength to the husband. They said, well, since he was zeichen a woman, should he not be zeichen those properties? So Rebbe Yehuda, in presenting the Chachamim, are they taking issue with Alechatchila, namely, Beis Shammai in the Mishnah said she can sell as a first choice? And the Chacham is saying, no, since the husband is zoich in the woman, should he not be zoich in the nechosim, at least to create a situation that we wouldn't tell the woman, go ahead and sell? Ay, adieved! Or are the Chacham coming to take issue with the agreement of Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, that properties that fall to the woman after Erusin, Beis Hillel agreed with Beis Shammai that if she sells those properties as an Arusa, the deal sticks. And the Chachomim that Rebbe Yehuda is quoting say no. Even in that case, where even though Beis Hillel agreed with Beis Shammai, we disagree with that. Namely, that what they said, the evidence that the deal sticks, we say no, the deal should be canceled. So once again, what exactly do the Chachomim hold, the Chachomim that Rebbe Yehuda presents? We continue out at the top of Omid Beis, Tashma, and from this source it will be clear. Desanya, Om Rebbe Yehuda, Omru Lifnei Rabban Gamliel. The Chachomim said to Gamliel, Hoyel Vezuishto, Vezuishto, since a Nisua is his wife, and an Arusa is his wife. Ma zu michra batel, just like with regard to properties that come to a woman after her nisuin, if she tries to sell them, the deal is off, the deal is canceled, the husband can take the properties away from the purchasers. Avzu michra batel. So too, the case of properties coming to a woman as an arusa, if she should try to sell them, it's off. So we dashed underline avzu michra batel, meaning the deal is off. That means, like the second possibility that we presented, that the chachomim of Rabbi Yehuda are coming to take issue with even the b'di'evid case where Beis Hillel was willing to concede that the deal would stand. No, the deal, according to Rabbi, the chachomim, is batel. Omar lahem, Rabbi Gamliel responds to the rabbanan. That which you said, that properties that come to her after Nisuin, her sale, should be void, I disagree. And you're trying to argue that even in cases where the property came to her as an Arusa, and she sells it, the deal is off. How could that be? Shma mina, from this presentation, from this brisa we see, the eved komar shma mina, that the chachomim, presented by Rebbe Yehuda, are arguing even on the eved level. Namely, once again, properties that a woman acquires as an arusa, that she tries to sell, the husband can call off the deal. We continue in the Gemara, relying on the extensive introduction that we gave to our Gemara, with here a braisa that features Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya. We saw him in the Mishnah, and he came to argue with Rabbi Yehuda's presentation. Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of the Chachomim and courtesy of Rashi, we said that the Chachomim were dealing with the case of a woman who acquired properties as an Arusa, and the Chachomim were arguing, just like the husband acquired the wife, he certainly should be able to acquire control over her properties. Now, Rabbi Hanina has a different presentation, so let's go into the Braisa. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya, Lo kach heshivon Rabban Gamliel lechachomim. The discussion between Rabban Gamliel and lechachomim was not a discussion regarding a sale of properties while she was still an Arusa. Sale of properties while she was still an Arusa would not have motivated Rabban Gamliel to express his dissent by saying Allah Hadoshim on Uboshim Eloshatim Megagmas Yeshonim. That phrase, that almost a poetic sounding phrase, wouldn't be needed for the case of Naflu Lo Be'Oira Rusa. Now, in a case, so then Elokach Heshivan. Rather, in the case of Naflu Lo Be'Oido Arusa, where Rabbi Gamliel disagrees with the Chachamim, he would disagree thusly. He would say, Lo, I disagree with you. Im Amartem Benesua. Now, we should just point out that the Chachomim had originally argued by comparing the Arusa to the Nesua, namely, properties that fell to the Nesua, the deal is off, so properties that fall to the Arusa, the deal is off. So, with regard to that argument, Rabbi Gamliel would say back as follows, Loi, im amartem b'nesua, if you say that her sale done as a nesua is canceled, shekein bailo zakai ben mitziyasa v'maisiyodeho u'baforas nadareho. When you're dealing with a nesua, I can see, Rabbi Gamliel says to the Chacham, I can see your point of view because the Baal has a lot of other control factors. He acquires her found objects. He acquires her income, her work production. He has control over her vows. He can absolve her vows. So where a husband has so much control, so much input and control with regard to his wife, fine. If you want to say that the sales that as an Asua that she conducts, he can cancel them. However, Tomu Barusa, should you say the same thing with regard to an Arusa? Shein Bailo Zakai Lo Bemetziyasa Velo Bemaisiyodeo Velo Baforos Nidoreo. The Baal has very little control over his wife in the Arusa stage. He does not acquire her found articles. He does not get her income. He cannot void her vows. And as a result of that lack of husband control, he should not be able to cancel her sales. So on a purely logical basis, Rabbi Gamliel tells the Chachamim that there's no way that if she conducts a sale as an Arusa that the husband should be able to cancel her deal. Omru lo. So the Chachamim said, Rebbe. They said, Rebbe, they're addressing Rabbi Gamliel. Mochro ad shelo nises. Very, very terse. But the Chachamim would say, okay, you are making a strong point with regard to sales that she conducts while still an Arusa. Because while still an Arusa, the husband has no control over her. Nises v'achar kach mochro mahu. What about a case of a woman who acquired properties before Nisuin, held on to the properties, consummated her marriage, entered Nisuin, and then sells the properties? What are you going to say then? Because at this point, you have a husband that has control over many of her aspects, as Rabbi Gamliel himself acknowledged. Omar Lahu, Rabbi Gamliel, who is, as you get the feeling, I'm sure, he gives a great deal of power to the woman. So, even here, he says, Omar Luhu, he says to the Chachomim, Afzu, Mocherez v'noizenez v'kayam. He says, even in this case, she has the rights to sell the property. And this language, by the way, would indicate she has rights, l'chatchila, to sell her properties. Omru lo, they said to Amlil, Hoyl v'zocha b'ishalo yizke b'nechosim. I don't understand your position, they say to him. He's been zoich b'isha, means he's acquired a woman. He's meaning he has rights to her found articles, to her maisi odayim, to absolve her vows. Should he not also acquire her properties? What business does she have selling properties that he should be considered the the controller of? Omar Lohem. So here, Rabbi Gamliel says, Al HaChadoshim Anu Boishim. Regarding properties that come to her after she's already a Nesua, we're embarrassed to say that the deal is off. In other words, as far as I'm concerned, Rabbi Gamliel says, even those properties that fell at such a late stage in the game, she still has control. And you're trying to tell me that the husband should have control, even of properties that came to her before the Nisuin? Just to go over that last point. My position is that even properties that came to her after she was, like, we'll say, subservient to the husband, she still has control over those sales. All the more so, properties that came to her before the husband had control, even though she entered Nisuin and then sold it, all the more so, the sale should be off. So with that, you can see an elaborate explanation of Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya as he features the give and take between the Chachomim and Rabbi Gamliel, which is a different presentation than that of Rabbi Yehuda. If you know, just to go over that fine point, there was that expression, this dramatic expression of Rabbi Gamliel, Al HaChadoshim Anu Boishim El HaShatim Megamas HaYishanim. What was that referring to? What was Chadoshim referring to? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that was referring to properties that, I should say, let me be a little more accurate. The Yeshonim case. What was that referring to? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Yeshonim that Rabbi Gamliel was referring to were properties that came to her as an arusa, and that she sold as an arusa. According to Rabbi Chaim Gamliel, the Yeshanim is a reference to properties that came to her before Nisuin and sold after Nisuin. Okay, so if you want to really pinpoint it, the Rabbi Yehuda version of Rabbi Gamliel has her selling those properties, the Yeshanim properties, as still an arusa. According to Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya, he has her selling those properties after she's already a Nisua. The Gemara asks, Vaho Anan Tanan. Now, here it's a question that's taking to issue the issue of Rabbi Gamliel's point of view. Who knows, what did Rabbi Gamliel say regarding her sales? Is it a sale she's allowed to make lichatchila or only b'dievet? As a first choice or only post facto? So above we have arrows if you want to navigate in the source, in the long source we saw a line that says Nises v'achar kach mochro, property she acquired before the Nisuin, and then she entered Nisuin and then sold those properties. What is the din according to you? And Rabbi Gamliel says there, and it's also dashed underlined, Avzu mocheres v'nosenes v'kayam. She can sell it as a first choice. And now we ask, v'anan t'nan, but did we not learn in the Mishnah regarding that case? Ad shelo niseis v'niseis Rabbi Gamliel oimer im mochra v'nosna kayam. This was in our Mishnah. What are we emphasizing? The word im, b'dievet, post facto, that if she sold. But above it says she has a right to sell it as a first choice. Omer Rav Zvid t'ni, Rav Zvid says that in the source above, you should restate it, excuse me, in the Mishnah should be restated without the im, but rather mocheres v'nosenes kayam. It was changed the language of the Mishnah present the real feeling of Rabbi Gamliel. She has a right to sell as a first choice. Rav Papa Omar lo kashya. Rav Papa says, there isn't any problem over here. Our Mishnah presented Rabbi Gamliel as saying that in that case, the sale is good only b'dievet. Again, it's a sale after Nisuin. Yeah, that's Hall Rabbi Yehuda Liber Gamliel. That's Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of Rabbi Gamliel. And Ha, the Brisa above, was Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya's Alibah Rabbi Gamliel. There it was Beferish. You saw the Brisa was brought in by him. That's his version of Rabbi Gamliel. Question. For Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya kebe Shammai. The way Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya presents Rabbi Gamliel as holding that she has a right to sell as a first choice, that sounds like the opinion of Beis Shammai. So are we to say that Rabbi Gamliel, who is actually a descendant of Beis Hillel, that he holds like Beis Shammai? The Gemara says, Hochi Ka'omar. What Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya is trying to tell us is, Lo Nechliku Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel al Dover Zeh. There is actually no machlokis between Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai on this matter. And now another shita. Rabbi Shmuel. Now these are Amoroyim, first generation Amoroyim, but they say as follows: the Amri Trevayu. They both say, "Bein shenoflu lo nechosim ad shelonis arsa." This is a very extreme shita that you're going to see of granting the husband control. Even properties that fall to her when she's still a totally single woman. Or properties that came to her after she entered Erusin. The Nises. And then she married. And after she married, after she entered the Isurin, she went and sold those properties. Habal motzi miyad halakuchos. The husband can take away, can extricate the properties from the purchasers. The Gemara asks, Keman, delo k'Rabbi Yehuda, velo k'Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya. This shita of Rav and Shmuel, you don't find in any of the Tanoim that we had seen up till this point. As far as all the Tanoim that we've seen up to this point, certainly concerning properties that she acquired before Erusin, no one had said up till Rav and Shmuel, no one had said that the Baal can take away from the Lakuchos. The Gemara says, Inhu di Amri kerabboisenu. Rav and Shmuel are based on another Tanaic school, the Rabboisenu, Disanya, Rabboisenu Chozru v'nimnu, the rabbis reconsidered the topic and they resolved Bain Shinoflu La Chilotisaris, Bain Shinoflu La Mishnisarsa, Venises, and then sold Habal Motzi Miyad Halukucho. So there you can see a Tanaic source, and if you look at the dashed underlining, you see how it's the same as Rav Ushmuel. We continue in the Gemara with a new point. Mishnises, Elu V'Elu Moidim. If properties came to a woman, she inherited properties after Nisuin, and she sold those properties, the Baal can take them away from the purchasers. The Gemara asks a question, it lasts a few lines, and it also will be a point of review. We've learned this earlier in the Masichta. Leimo tanino letakonas usha. Let us say that our Mishnah would be a Tanaic source for the enactments in Usha. Usha was a community in which rabbinic enactments had been made. In the town of Usha, they enacted a woman who sold off Nichse Mulug. Those are properties which are technically speaking owned by the woman. She brings these properties into the marriage. They're owned by the woman, and the husband has rights to benefit from the produce. If a woman sold those properties while her husband was alive, and then she died, leaving a husband widower, Habal motzi miyad halakuchos. notice we dashed underline Haba Motzmi Alel Kuchos, and we have our Tanaic source, our Mishnah that says a woman that sells properties after she's married, the Baal is Motzi Miyad HaLekuchos. So we have our Mishnah then would seem to be a basis for the Takonas Usha. If you recall, much earlier in the Masichta when we were dealing with Takonas Usha, the Gemara was questioning whether those Takonas are binding Lahaloch or not. Now if you say that the Takonas Usha in this regarding this particular enactment is backed up by the Mishnah, that would give it a great deal of halachic strength. The Gemara says no. This Mishnah does not reflect the Takonas Usha. What's the difference? Masnisen bechayeho uleperos. The Mishnah that speaks about the Baal taking away from the Lekuchos is not a reference to a case where the wife died. The wife is still alive. And she had sold the properties, and those properties were properties that he was entitled to benefit from the Peros. So the Baal goes to the Lekuchos and says, what did you buy the properties for you? How could you buy those properties? I'm benefiting from the fruits, the Peros. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, all that happens is that after the wife sells the properties and she remains alive and the husband is there, he goes to the purchaser and says, give me back the properties. However, when the husband dies, when the woman dies, the properties will go back to the purchasers. Even if she dies in his lifetime, in the husband's lifetime, the husband does not inherit, according to the Mishnah. Takonas Usha went a step further. Takonas Usha is begufa shel karka ulachar misa. The husband takes away the properties, according to Takonas Usha, he's taking away the property itself, not just the fruits. He's taking away the properties, and his retention of the properties will be so even after the wife dies. So that the Takonas Usha goes further than that which the Mishnah was trying to teach. Hence, to say that our Mishnah is support for Takonas Usha, that we cannot say. Rabbi Shimon Cholek Bein Nechosim. There are Nechosim that her sale stands, and there are Nechosim that her sale will not stand. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah made a distinction between Nechosim Yeduim versus Nechosim Sheinam Yeduim. We ask, Elu Hein Yeduim ve'elu Hein Sheinam Yeduim. What is meant by those that are known and those that are not known? This then becomes the topic of discussion right now. On the side of the Gemara, we have the Nosei Shitas Rabbi Shimon, Shemechalik Bein Nechosim Yeduim Nechosim Sheinon Yeduim. So what is meant by that? So we have two approaches. Number one, Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanino, Yeduim is Mekarkoi. The term that Yeduim means land, and Sheinon Yeduim means Metaltalin, portables. Rabbi Yochanan is going to disagree, and he's going to say both land and portables are called Yeduim, and those things the woman should have no right to sell. But before we go into that, we take a look at Rashi. Yeduim Mekarkoi. Very fascinating thing Rashi says here. He says, V'almanas oisun nechosim nos'a l'fikoch michra Botel Shoyemetzape Shetipo La Oisa Yerusha. This might sound I don't know if you want to say it sounds contemporary, it sounds coarse, or certainly it sounds very far from we'll call a romantic relationship. There's a man that took note of a woman that had some, let's say, very wealthy relatives. And this man knew that she was an heiress to be of those properties. She had not yet inherited them because the benefactor was still alive. But the husband had his eyes on that particular benefactor passing away, and then the woman inheriting those properties. And as Rashi explains, when you're dealing with land, that's what she would inherit. So he married her in anticipation of her inheriting those properties. So therefore, since the whole marriage is based on his eyeballs rolling around with the picture of that property with that real estate in mind, that is something she cannot sell. The Tosfos Rid has another twist to this. The significance of Mekarkoi, it's real estate. It's not something she could, let us say, hide, that she could, by its very nature, it's there. It's not something she could hide from her husband. So his mind is on those properties. However, when it comes to portables, something she could hide, conveniently get lost, so to speak, the husband doesn't rely on them, doesn't think about them. He puts them out of his mind. Therefore, since it's not really on his mind, if the wife sells portables that she inherited, those sales will stand. So now we go back to the Gemara text. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Eilu ve'elu yiduim hay." Whether it's land or even portables, they are considered yiduim. They're considered known to the husband, and therefore she has no right to sell them. Ve'elu hay she'enon yiduim. These are the enon yiduim that the Tana Rabbi Shimon was referring to. That if she were to sell them, the sale stands. Kol sheyosheves kan v'naflu lo nechosim b'medinas hayam. These are properties that she lives here, and the benefactor lived abroad. In other words, they came to her at a faraway location. Tanyo nami hochi. Elu hein she'enon yidum. A braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. What is meant by nechosim she'enon yidum? Kol sheyosheves kan v'naflu lo nechosim b'medinas hayam. Properties that she lives here, but she inherited properties that are abroad. They're overseas. So regarding that, Rabbi Shimon would say that she shouldn't sell them as a first choice, but if she sells them, the sale will be binding. Now we have a new topic. On the side, we indicate the Nosei Ad HaMishnah, Shtar Havrocha. It's a contract, a deed to property, that's whole purpose was to enable a woman who happened to be, let's say, a widow, who wanted to remarry but did not want the husband to acquire, through the marriage, acquire these properties. That's what we call a shtar havrocha. She wants havrocha from the word borach. Borach means to run away. So she's marrying a man, but she wants the properties to escape the husband's control. And in doing so, she draws up a shtar, a contract, and she tells witnesses that I'm about to give my properties as a gift to someone else. And of course, this is all before she marries. And I want you witnesses to know that this is not a real gift. It's just to be mavriach, to keep the properties away from the husband. And not, I have no intention, though, that upon giving these properties as a gift, that the gift receiver should really receive them. And for practical purposes, if the second husband, let us say, dies, so she will get the, if he dies or that second husband divorces her, the woman will get her properties back. The Gemara. Hahi Itzah. Itzah is a woman. There was a woman. She was an almona. She was a widow that was anticipating a second marriage. the bayo de tavrechinu lenichsa migavra, who wanted to keep her properties away from the second husband. And she would do this by giving them as a nominal gift to her daughter, but not that the daughter should really become the owner. So kas v'sinhu lebarta, she wrote it over as a deed to the properties over to her daughter, and told witnesses that what I'm doing now is not a serious gesture. It's just to keep them away from my new husband. In Siva, she then, after preparing this shtar havrocha, the woman then in Siva, she married the new husband. Ve'igrusha, and she was then subsequently divorced. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Ayin Tes. Asoi lekamei de Rav Nachman. The mother approaches Rav Nachman in the expectation of his facilitating her receiving her properties back from the daughter. And the daughter, apparently she had her own ideas. The daughter whipped out the shtar matana, the deed that indicated she received the properties as a gift. So you see tension here between mother claiming the properties from the daughter and the daughter being recalcitrant. Kare Rav Nachman l'shtara. Rav Nachman ripped up that shtar matana. In other words, the lady gets her property back. Amale Ozal Rav Anan the Kamei de Mar Ukva. There's a sense of deja vu maybe over here. Rav Anan going to Rav Mar Ukva is something we saw back on Daf Samach Tes. So here we again, 10 Daf later. Rav Anan goes to Rav Mar Ukva. Amale, Rav Anan complains and he says, Chozimor Nachman Chakla Hechi Mikra Shtori De'inchi? A very derogatory description or reference to Rav Nachman. He calls him Rav Nachman the farmer. Now, Chakla, there's nothing negative about being a farmer, don't get me wrong. But it's in this context, Rashi says, Chaklo eino boki bedinin. He's someone, Chaklo would be someone who is not knowledgeable, certainly not expert in law. So he says, look at this novice, Rav Nachman, Rav Anan says regarding Rav Nachman. Nachman the novice, look how he tears up legal documents of people. Omar Lei, Marutfa says, Emoli easy, gufa di ufta, hechi have. Tell me exactly what were the details. That you're coming in screaming that Rav Nachman tears up legal documents. Well, what exactly happened there? Omale, hachi bachi ave. So Rav Anan tells him the whole story like we already saw. Omale, so Mar Ukva says, shtar mavrachas klamris. Are you referring to the shtar mavrachas, the document designed to deprive a husband of owning property, and only on those grounds the property was given to the daughter? Hachi omar Rav Chaniloi bar Idi omar Shmuel. Thusly, Shmuel rules. Shmuel says, Moira hayro ani, I'm a legal decisor. I've been given rishus by the head of the Jewish people, the Reish Galusa, to issue rulings. Im yovoi shtar mavrachas liyodi, if I should ever encounter a deed or a document, a contract like the one above, and the receiver of that shtar wants to maintain possession of those properties, I'll tear it up, just like Rav Nachman. Omar le Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava asks asks Rav Nachman on like how is it that in this particular case of the almona getting remarried and prior to that assigning her properties to her daughter, I want to emphasize to her daughter, are you saying that it's a joke? It's true that a shtar mavrachas, as far as granting ownership to the receiver, is a joke. Granted that, but it's limited. He says, "Taimo mai, why does Shmuel say that I'll tear it up?" Very simply, the lo shovik inish nafshei v'yoev lachrin. A person would not deprive himself in favor of giving it to someone else. Person cares about himself more than he'll. A person has to be concerned with himself more than others. So that concept of lo shovik inish nafshei, a person wouldn't abandon himself and give to others. Hanimini lachri, that's when you're dealing with outsiders. Aval lebarta yahiva, when it comes to a mother and a daughter, wow, mother-daughter relationship, how much literature has been written over that topic. Mother, how fond she is, how connected she is, how caring she is of her daughter. So there, if she's giving the shtar, what we call a shtar mavrachas, to her daughter, that's a real gift. Surprise! Afilu achi, b'mokom barta, nafsho adifa lo. Even when it's a matter of her own daughter, a person, a mother, is more concerned with herself. The Chazal, I can tell you, we've said this so many times in this Masechta, but it never fails to impress me how the Chazal, they descend into the very depths, the core of the human psyche. And especially when it comes to matters of money, the Chazal are only too well aware of the inner makeup of a person, and that's why it's so important to learn the Shas, all of the Shas, and in doing so you reveal the inner workings of the human being, and with that one is then so much better equipped to deal with life's realities. The Shas represents the X-ray, or the exposure of the human experience, and it has nothing rivals it. So here you have one of these as a profound insights that even b'mokom barta nafsho adifa lo. The Gemara asks a question. Notice the question is a long question. It takes in a Tanaic source. We're going to ask a question on Shmuel. Meisvei haroitsa shetavriach nechasam mibayla. A woman that wants to deprive her anticipated husband of gaining control over the properties. Ketzer Uel, so what should they do? So the first opinion of Shmuel Amliel says, Koseves shtar pasim l'achirim divrei Rav Shmuel Amliel. We're going to be, I think, more interested in the Chachomim in a minute, but in the meantime, what is shtar pasim? So Rashi explains. Rashi that we're looking at is almost across from your line or two up. Shtar pasim, shtar piusim. Piusim, like the word in English, appease. She mefaisoso lekabel matana zu, where the owner of the property appeals to a friend to accept this as a gift. Lafkias chus baila kirmisuin, velo shiyiske mekabel zebohem. I'm giving this to you. I'm appealing to you to accept ownership of this only as a means of preventing rights of my husband to the properties, but I don't intend for this shtar, for this contract, to be a formal transferal of ownership. We continue in the Gemara. If a shtar pasim were given, it seems to me that when you look at the text of the document, and I think that you can prove this from other Gemaras, that the text of the document appears to be a regular shtar. It's just that it was given in such a way where there were additional instructions that were verbalized that, listen, you understand I'm doing this only as a legal subterfuge to deprive the husband of access to the properties, but not that you should be the real owner. So the Chachamim say, someone who gets a document like that, he can laugh all the way to the bank and hold on to those properties forever. So what about the issue of mavrachas? How can that be accomplished? So ad shetichtoy vloy, if you want an effective mavrachas, so then you would have to have the following text. Mehayoyim ulichishertzam. I'm giving you this property from today, conditional upon my wanting you to get the property. If we look at the Rashi, im yirtzeh hamakabel, that is ad shetichtov b'shtar zeh, regarding this deed or contract over the property, you would have to write in the document the following loshon, the following expression: mehayoyim nesunim loch u lichish erzeh yesh kan havrocha mibayla. Here you do have a legal expression depriving the husband of the properties. Sheim bo lizkois, if the husband comes to take over the property, tomar, she'll say, ani rotsa b'matona, I want that gift that I gave to so-and-so before I ever married you, I want it to be binding. V'nimtza kayemes l'mafrei, and then it would be effective retroactively from the initial giving. V'im ze shenichta b'shtar yovo l'achzik, and if the receiver of the shtar would be the one to come and say, I want to be the owner of it, tomar, she would be able to, the woman would be able to say, eini rotsa, no, I don't want. And that was the language, that the deal would be a good l'chashetza, when I should agree, when I should be so desirous thereof. So now, we go back to the Gemara. In this Tanaic source, we saw the text of a shtar mavrachas. Taimo de kosav lei hochi. The only way for it to be an effective mavrachas is by using this text of mehayom l'chertze. Ha lo kosva lei hochi. If that text is missing, koninu lokeach. The receiver wins. The receiver acquires it. Well, that would be against Shmuel. In other words, Shmuel didn't indicate that you need to have that language. Here you see you have to have that language in order for the original owner to maintain ownership over it. Amar Rabbi Zera, lo kashya. Ha bekula, ha bemiktsasa. Shmuel, who didn't insist on that language, because we were dealing with someone that was giving over all of their properties. No one gives over all of their properties just like that. So, as Rashi says, someone who gave over all of their properties to someone else before their marriage to a new husband, we bear witness. Rashi says, Anan Sadi, we bear witness, the Logomra Vilnakta, that there was no real transferal intent. Now, Haba Miktsasa, where a person gives over only part of their properties, that objectively, you know, that looks like a real deal, a real sale, a real gift. And in order to show that it's not, you're going to have to express thusly by writing Mehayom Ulchsheerze. The Gemara asks, according to Shmuel, if a woman writes over all of the properties, so the receiver doesn't really get it. So v'i lo kanini lo keach, if the receiver doesn't really get it, when you write over all of your properties, nikninu baal, so let the husband, in fact, acquire them. How do we have a deprivation of the husband accomplished in a case of writing over all of the properties, bearing in mind that in the deed itself, you don't have any indication that it's a shtar havrocha, and you're telling me that the receiver doesn't really get it. So if the receiver doesn't get it, the husband should get it. And let the husband consume the fruits of those properties, and let when the wife dies, let him inherit them if she dies in his lifetime. And yet we don't, it doesn't seem to be like that. It seems that the property remains outside the control of the husband. How is that? Omar Abaye, Asa'um, legally speaking, we're viewing these properties, Kinechosim She'ein Yeduim Labal Valiba de Rabbi Shimon. The properties here in this Havrocha case are granted the status of property that are not known to the husband, as per the teaching of Rabbi Shimon. And Rashi says, "Kinechosim shein on yiduim, shrei almanas shein on shelo nosa desavur shamatona gemura." In a case, what Rashi just described is the havrocha case, where the woman had given her properties as a gift to someone else, and then she married the husband. So when he married her, he was doing so on the assumption that, as Rashi says, Amanas She'enos Shelo, thinking that the properties were really not hers. And he married her thinking that the properties were really not hers. Therefore, there's no reason for us to give the Baal any privileges to those properties during their marriage. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.